Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Reverse Sweep. As you can see, we're all smiles today. We're happy that Call of Duty's back after that 1 week break. And I'm joined by my regular co-host, Chris, aka Parasite.
What's up, everybody? How we doing?
And Pat, aka Slaya, aka Aches.
Get ready to learn X Defiant, James. That's all I gotta say.
We've got some interesting topics on board today. We're going to cover some of the stuff from this weekend really quickly, and then we're going to dive into some more throwback topics later in the episode, maybe a little bit about the future of Call of Duty, and some fun stuff with a little speed round at the end. So make sure you guys stick around. As per usual, thank you guys for checking out all the episodes and showing a lot of love. Like a lot of our episodes have been doing really well lately on Spotify, on YouTube. And so thank you guys for the continued support. Make sure you guys are subscribed. And we'll hop straight into the matches from this weekend. Obviously, the highlight is our two grand finals teams. Both went 2-0 and 0-2, and it was conveniently not the ones that won. So LAT struggled a little bit right off the back of the major four win, and Optic is seemingly still playing well. I don't know which one you guys want to start on, but
I'd say we start with Thieves, because to me, I mean, they're basically repeating what happened to Toronto last major, right? Like, yeah. Toronto won, came home, and then just looked horrible. And I wouldn't say Thieves look horrible, but like, my big call out is Kenny. Like, I don't know what happened to Kenny. We're seeing Quavo, I think, playing, because Kenny's had really two rough series back to back. I think it was like a neg 30 something and like a neg 25 something, just like anomaly stat line performances out of him, just especially compared to his teammates. I think, Chris, you mentioned it too, like maybe some interesting map vetoes coming out of them as well. So what's happening with these teams that are winning events and then coming home? I think they're just kind of on vacation a little bit after winning a major.
Well, also, I mean, if you go and watch like New York, their interview, they basically talked about how they were doing a lot of like studying in terms of like LA Thieves' search, and they played Search and Destroy really well in that series. So, I mean, yeah, definitely they could have some vacation stuff. Thieves in general are just not that good online usually, besides the last split. But I think it's just like when you win a tournament, you just put like a target on your back. And everyone goes and watches your gameplay and studies you as a team. But also, like, when they play you, it's just like, we got to go hard. We're playing the defending champs. And it just gives people more of a reason to try their ass off when they play you. So, or it could just be actual complacency. I just think Kenny, in general, is just struggling right now. He has not been their best player in the online splits. He always turns up on LAN, specifically versus Optic, which is arguably their most competitive competition here. Their most consistent competition, I guess, towards the tail end of the season. But online, you just don't get that performance out of him. I don't know what it is. I wish I could put my finger on it, but I truly don't know.
Now, granted, it's still early. Like, it's only the first two matches of the split. But we did see how quickly that can turn into what happened with Toronto. And then they found themselves in the loser's bracket for stage or major four. And these, who did they play? LA. They were pretty.
Oh, no, they played good matches.
Yeah, I mean.
No, they played good matches. They played Ultra, okay, who obviously has won a tournament in New York, who's also, won a tournament at some point.
Yeah, but Ultra
Ultra just fried them. New York, they had a clutch. Yeah. They had a close series where New York's, I guess, smaller map pool kind of got the better of them, and it pushed them to a map five. But yeah, Ultra just handled them bad. I still think, I think it's just Kenny, bro. Like, Kenny just needs to step up for this team if they want to, like, start winning their matches. Luckily for them, though, their schedule going forward is, like, really easy. I think it's, like, London. It could be like Florida
four teams basically.
Yeah, so I'm not worried about them making winners bracket unless they just have some catastrophe happen where they all forget to play, the game. But yeah, no, just it's weird seeing these teams, come from like such dominant on our land, victories to coming home and just looking like they forgot how to play.
Yeah, and then on the Optic side of things, I feel like they kind of just keep looking solid for the most part. Like everything looks pretty good. Nothing really changed. It doesn't seem like these grand finals losses falling short are doing too much. What are your kind of predictions moving forward with this final qualifiers weeks with Optic and Major 5 and Champs coming up?
Go ahead, Pat.
I'm trying to think who all they play. But to
we'll schedule up. You just keep it going.
Yeah, let
you
know to your point, though. Yeah, I mean they look good. I mean Huke also has kind of like. I mean we talked about this before the event too. Like if Huke stays on the level that he was having in Major 4 online, like they're gonna probably win the event. We didn't see him keep that level of consistency up, and I think that's almost impossible. Like he was playing above expectation. But I mean he's back. He's frying online again. Dashy as well is I mean so far been the best player on their team in my opinion. I don't know if you, James, got a second to see his interview today, but like he was locked in to say the least. I think he said like 10 words in total and they're just like trying to get him to answer questions. But
yeah,
I mean, their whole team is locked in. They're playing well, they're clutching and still beating FaZe pretty easily.
To answer your question, Pat, they play Florida, Toronto, Rio. Seattle. And that should be it, right? Florida, yeah. Toronto, they, Seattle.
I think they win everyone except Toronto. I think Toronto beats them, but I see them going 4-1 and then being back in the winter bracket, no problem.
I could see still. I mean, like Toronto's been looking on the up and up, so like I expect that to be like a tougher fight for them. This split, but there could be another world where these guys somehow just go undefeated again, which is slightly typical. I feel like. They're like a safe bet to bet on, like in terms of like how they're going to perform in the qualifier. I think Dashy is just continues to be him. I think Hook has been playing very well online, at least consistently. Shotzi and Dan are both filling all their roles, and they're still experimenting with their gameplay. So or their map pool. So if they continue to do that, maybe there's a chance they lose. Like they almost lost that one to Vegas where they played some questionable maps. They still ended up coming out with the win, but I wonder what their strategy is going to be like going forward. Because personally, if I'm them, if they beat Florida, they're pretty much guaranteed. That's like their next match too, right? So if they beat Florida, they're pretty much guaranteed winner bracket, I feel like. And then they play Seattle and Toronto, which are both competitive teams, I'd say. Like they have the potential to basically win a championship, if not make long tournament runs. I wonder if they try to experiment their map pool in those series, simply because if they're playing against really good competition, like they don't need the points. Like you're better off getting almost like better practice and trying to expand your map pool there. So we'll see going forward what their strategy is like, or maybe they just stick to their guns and try to go for an undefeated stage again. Curious.
Yeah. And then on the side of, besides that, we still kind of have this last slots, for the, to make champs kind of up in the air. And we see Boston kind of creeping down into that fight a little bit. I don't know what the exact point differential now, wasn't it like, somewhere between like 140, 150. Yeah, they're all within 10 points. Any predictions how that kind of pans out here over the next couple weeks?
I got Vegas taking the eighth place over Rocker. I think that'll happen. I think Rocker losing that series to Boston was pretty impactful. Like, I think they had another chance to have like one of those 2-0 home series, and obviously went 1-1. I just think Vegas is playing really good right now. Like, arguably, in my opinion, Vegas could be 2-0. They could have beat Optic in that game 5. Like, that was very doable for them. So I think Vegas will kind of continue that momentum. I think they'll have a solid online stage. I think they'll make winner bracket. I don't see Rocker having a good online stage, and I see them starting in losers at the event. And so really, you know, I think Vegas is 10 points behind. If they can at least tie and then just outplace them at the major, they pass them for champs. So, for me, at least, I think Vegas is going to take that ninth spot. I'm not too worried about Boston. They're obviously very good online. I think they'll basically lock in their spot online for the most part. I think it's going to be a Vegas sliding into the eighth spot and then Rocker falling down to the ninth spot. Because the bottom three is set, right? We already know.
I have the schedule pulled up here, and I'm actually curious what Rocker's next couple matches are, because both of those teams are 1-1. They're going to play Toronto. which Rocker they is. Should lose. Yeah. And they also play the Thieves, which they should probably also lose. And then I think the match that's going to, you know, really set this up, and it's going to be pretty much the match. It's going to be the match of the entire split, not namely because of the teams, but because of how important it is. They play Vegas. So that match is going to, I think that match will probably determine who makes champs. I'm not even going to lie.
Because I think about it, Chris. Rocker basically is going to, let's just say they don't win any series, right? And let's say Vegas wins at least one. Vegas will be tied going into that series.
Yeah.
And that's pre-event.
Yeah. And even if, let's even say that Rocker beat them, like they'd still only be up 10. If Vegas just outplaces them at the event.
Yeah, this is like, the thing though, like, yeah, outplace them, but like.
You win one series, you get 20 points.
I know, but they literally had that opportunity last split. They had majors. They went to the major. They were in winner's bracket. They played New York, which was arguably probably the easiest out of all the winner's teams, if I can remember correctly. Yeah, New York
turned up at that event.
But I think New York is on the trajectory, is on an upwards trajectory right now as well. So I don't know, man. Like, I think it's going to come down to their bracket. And for their sake, I'm hoping, because, like, obviously, I think a lot of these top teams, for example, are going to be trying to experiment with their map pool at this final stage online, because, you know, they realize, like, oh, we don't need points as long as we make winner's bracket versus the top teams. Like, let's try and see if we can, you know, push our boundaries a little bit. And that could skew the actual, like, bracket setup pretty dramatically. And who knows? They may end up getting a really hard winner's bracket. And they didn't do particularly well on land this last split. So, yeah, I mean, I hope Vegas make it simply because I think it would be dope for Vegas to, you know, obviously have you make as a champs in Vegas. But I'm still worried, man, because as much as they have the potential here to beat Rocker and upset them and get them into a point where they're like tied basically going into the major, I don't know if I have faith in Vegas making a run after their trash land performance at the last major. I don't know. Scary stuff for this, but I mean, it's going to be exciting going forward to see who makes this final spot. And also, we didn't talk about Boston much. I think Boston's fine. Boston, I feel like, has enough talent, and we'll probably see it next week when they play like Florida, I think is what they're going to play on Friday, where like they shouldn't like lose to any of these teams. While I still think Vegas and Rocker are still prone to being upset to like a LAG or a Florida, or even like a London just randomly, like. Where Boston, I think, like, they're so, like, talent stacked in terms of just role, like, talent that they'll just handle those teams regardless of, like, them not being able to, like, contend against, you know, Optic or FaZe or whatever. You know, you get the point. So I don't think Boston will fall off and be in that conversation.
Yeah. Now, on to another front. As mentioned, Rocker did have another one of their home series, this event where they had some teams out there to play in person. And there was a little bit of drama going on with the sound equalization coming back into play, except on LAN, because obviously they can't turn this setting on that helps your audio at the actual majors, because I'm sure it's just due to the CDL monitoring the PCs. But because Rocker's hosting this event, I guess it was up in air that you could either use it or not use it.
It's technically not CDL like event.
Yeah. So people did use sound EQ on LAN. Thoughts, gentlemen?
Their reasoning was terrible. They said that they wanted to obviously like get the best practice because they were gonna like turn it off for this one match and go home and have to turn it back on, so what the fuck's the point? And then you have Dens, who's a general manager for that team, also saying, oh, we knew that we could win the mental battle if we just like didn't like agree with them. So like two sides of the story here that just don't add up for the reasoning behind it. Real quick,
isn't that insane? We broke GAs and we won the mental battle. Like what?
No,
what
world am I living in? Though it's not technically a GA because everyone uses it online. It's more so the fact that like people don't use it on LAN because Activision can actually enforce it. But at this event, there's no like Activision CDL employees. I'm pretty sure it's just like all like Minnesota's people, like basically running the whole thing. So they can't really enforce it technically. However, I'll tell you the reason why they used it. Boston, again, you were talking about it. They're in a potential position where they can drop down if all fucking hell breaks loose and they just start getting smoked, right? And one of those teams that they would eventually, you know, potentially be in the race for is Rocker. If they lose that match and there's like some tiebreaker situation or something like that, they could potentially fall out of champs contention. So clearly these guys were playing well online with Loud and CQ and ever since bringing back Reese, and they like the way they've been practicing. So they decide, yo, stick to what we were doing and let's just make sure that we win this match. That's why they did it. Any other reason they're going to give you is complete fucking bullshit. And if they would have just said, we've been practicing really well and we really wanted to win this match, but that's why we did it, I would have been like, okay, it's respectable. It makes sense. I can't tip you for it because it's still like lame, but like I can respect the honesty and I understand. But the fact that they completely fucking lied and just were blatantly bullshitting and then making stupid shit like, or saying stupid shit like, oh, it wouldn't have mattered if we had it on, we still would have beat you. Like, bro, it's fucking cowardice. Like, dude, what kind of generation of Call of Duty players do we have in the CDL nowadays where people are just going to like purposely break integrity for a small advantage? There's actually
a different world we live in, bro.
It's a different world. And if these guys did this back in the day, no one would be screaming them.
Not only that, they wouldn't get picked up. Like,
no, I don't know about the pickup stuff because people are, well, maybe back in the day because there was more options, but nowadays people are desperate for players. And although they did break GAs, like some of those people are talented and could potentially be good on other teams if, you know, people needed players. But I think more so just like, if I were other teams, I'm not scrimming them, period. Am I faded for that?
No.
I don't really see why you would.
Like, it's not like they're good enough that you need to practice. Like, there's plenty of like better teams.
It's not like they're FaZe or Optic or Thieves or Ultra, like, or New York. Like, bro, FaZe, Optic, Thieves, Ultra, New York, those guys could just scrim each other for the rest of the, like, season. Why even scrim Rocker or Seattle, too, because Seattle's a pretty good respawn team. Why scrim Rocker, Boston, LAG, Florida? There's no point. You're not going to get any better from playing those teams.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I just personally think it was cowardice. It's fucking pure cowardice. It's stupid.
Pat, anything to add on to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it also, outside of that, shows a pure lack of confidence. I think this Boston team obviously has been struggling with finding the right roster all year long. And we've kind of talked about it. Like, they're basically never breaking into the top four. We know that. They're basically just fighting through for where they're going to fall in the 5-8.
It's an overperformance if they do.
Yeah. And so for me, I mean, I think it's just a lack of confidence. This team doesn't have much confidence in themselves. And if they think that they've been playing online really well because of sound EQ, when everyone knows they can't use it on LAN, they can't use it at champs. So I don't know. Just a pure lack of confidence. It honestly makes me kind of want to put Boston down even further in my, like, where I have them ranked. So, congrats. They won the 20 points. We already, or 10 points. We already thought they were going to make champs anyway. So this didn't really matter. Like, I thought this team was a lock for champs. So, nice. They'll just go to champs and get 5-8. Congrats.
Also, while we're talking about the whole Boston thing, I know James is probably going to bring it up here in a second. The whole gunless beans banter. It's not even banter. They blatantly were shit talking each other. There was definitely some like spite in every single one of those tweets. did you saw that, right, Pat?
Yeah. My favorite gave OG COD Twitter vibes for sure.
Oh yeah, and Afro and Awakening. Yeah. Bro, listen, Beans had to just hold the L. Because Pierce wasn't even shit-talking him. He literally just said, did anyone see Beans get hyped after shooting two people in the back and screaming? And I went back and watched it because I missed it. Beans legitimately shot two people in the side. No one shot a bullet at him. Routine kills. And said, oh my God! And I was like...
That accent was kind of good, Chris. I'm not gonna lie. I love the little British slang on that.
I watched it and I was like, dude, that's actually hilarious. Like,
yeah.
And obviously, Pierce was, you know, making fun of him for it. I would have too if I actually saw it. I would have tweeted, did he just like get hyped over shooting two people in the back? I probably would have tweeted something like that. No bullshit. And then he comes out and says like, oh, that's very weird of you. Like, you're basically dick riding, you know, by being on my case like that. I'm like, bro, he was just making an observation. I think it was funny. Beans was just so hurt that he got caught, you know, just being an idiot that he just started throwing shots at Pierce, and Pierce obviously kept firing back. I don't really see how you can talk shit to this guy. Like, Pat, come on.
Especially when you've done absolutely nothing. Like,
it was an interesting tweet.
Like, he just joined the scene. He's done absolutely nothing. So I don't know.
Listen, I respect Beans because he's a very outgoing person, and like, shit talk is good for the scene. It's just more so like he just had to hold it. But at the same time,
I'm not calling a gunless LeBron by any means. But this was some Dylan Brooks shit from Beans for sure.
there is a lack of respect between like the younger generation and some of the older heads. I think, at least in terms of the older heads that like don't compete anymore, I feel like a lot of people, like even when I played in Challengers, there's just people that would talk to me sideways and stuff like that. When I'm like, bro, what have you done ever? And what will you ever do?
I don't even care about what they have. It's what they will. Like, bro, we could come back to this in 10 years and you'll still be at the same place with zero event wins, zero MVPs. Anything, but you're still chirping.
And then there's those people, it's like, oh, I wish I competed back then. Bro, if you competed back then, you would be in the same spot you were now, just back then. Because that whole argument,
even worse,
like that big team
even
made,
worse.
Even potentially worse. That whole argument that big team made with like the floor and the ceiling is completely true. It's like we only know as much as like the person that knows the most at that point in time. Like that's like the potential, and the potential keeps rising as people keep playing more games and learning more and playing against higher level competition. And it just, if you were playing back then, you were not doing what Pierce was doing. So show some fucking respect. He might not be doing that now, but obviously circumstances change, teams change, games change, personalities
play a big role.
Obviously, yeah. There's a lot of things that happen, and some of these players that might have been great then might not be so great now because shit just changes. But like, I don't know. I think there just needs, sometimes people just need to understand that you got to hold those L's.
I thought it was interesting too, because it wasn't even just Beans. I believe one of the owners for Boston like stepped in and was chirping Gunless as well, like pointing out the fact that he's not currently in the league.
I didn't see that one.
Talking. Yeah. Like I'm pretty positive. Let me see. Where's my phone? I think, let me find it.
Yeah, Murph or Alexi Murph. Yep. He tweeted about it.
What did he respond?
I think it was just it's just out of pocket. I mean, it's just immaturity. As a businessman, he shouldn't be really getting involved. But regardless, like I said, just Pierce's accolades alone in the time that he was in his prime just speak for themselves. Like, you just have to hold that, bro. Like, you got caught looking like a dumbass. It was hilarious. I think if you'd have just laughed it off, no one would have cared.
Yeah.
But you obviously just felt offended because you knew you looked like a fool. Like, you probably like thought about it and you're like, wow, I'm a fucking dumbass, and just got so offended that you just started firing back. Like,
yeah. Now on another front though, I feel like in the recent couple weeks, I feel like people are just breaking GAs left and right, whether it's a sniper getting pulled out or this or that and things getting GA'd mid event. And it kind of just brings up a broader conversation. I think like, are we seeing like there's basically no repercussions for breaking a GA at the moment? Like, because like you guys have said, like, oh, why don't I just, back in the day, we wouldn't scrim them. But like, I don't think that's happening. So like, is there any repercussions to breaking GAs right now? Or are we going to see all hell break loose in these last two tournaments?
The reason why that's a thing now is because there's no camaraderie between COD players or pros anymore. Everyone just cares about themselves. So unless something,
keeping a spot in the CDL.
And keeping a spot in the CDL. So unless it happens to you, you're the only people that genuinely give a fuck. Like, if a GA gets braked on you, unless it's like some, I don't even know if it was, imagine it was some crazy shit. Like, let's say something was still in the game. Like, let's say the FAL was like in the game, for example, and it was like GA'd, but it wasn't like banned in the settings. Somebody pulled it out like Clay did with the M1 Grand back in fucking like World War II against Pharaoh's team. Like, unless something like that happened, I don't think like people really give a fuck. Like, the only people that care are the people that it gets, like, are like, victims of the situation. Like, the whole, like, SAE thing that happened with, like, Optic and the league decision. Obviously, this. Like, even dating back to World War II, Clay pulled out an M1 Grand versus, like, Pharaoh and
crazy,
Blast.
By the way.
In that map five of a fucking actual tournament to stay alive in the tournament and drop, like, 20 kills or something on them. And no one cared. Like, I just think people just don't have any camaraderie anymore unless it directly affects you.
Because everyone gets paid now, bro. I'm telling you, people hate this argument, but like the money changes a lot. And I think that's when you compare like to what I would say like the glory days are or whatever, like the BO2 and on. For me, it's like the big difference is just the amount of money that's in the scene now. And so when everyone's comfortable, everyone's happy, it's like it doesn't really matter as much. It's not about the competitive integrity of the game. Like, I think Looney had one of the better takes. He was like, back in the day, the number one priority for every player was making sure we played the most competitive version of the game. That was it. And winning on the most competitive version of the game. Nowadays, it's just about getting money. Like, winning is, I mean, like...
Because people wanted to be the best, and cool, they wanted to have fun while also making money. Now it's like people want to make money and they try to have fun.
Right. They want guaranteed money, like as if it's a job, you know, and that's the number one priority for everybody in the league now. And I mean, there's a natural kind of progression with that, with like how people get older, and like it's obviously a priority, like when you're older to have a stable income. But That's the number one priority. I would even say it's more important to 99% of the league than winning is. I would say that for sure.
Well, yeah,
salaries were so low, even when you did get a salary, that like winning was where you made your money.
Yeah.
Nowadays, the opposite. You make your money in salary.
Like, that's because there's like four teams that can actually win. So naturally, the fucking the eight other teams that know they probably aren't going to win a championship, they want to try to like win it, but like, as long as they're like at the middle of the pack, as long as they're playing at an acceptable level, they just want to get paid, dropped, bro.
Level. Yeah,
level. They just want to get paid and, you know, continue their career as long as they can. If I'm not, they're just like, okay, if I'm not number one, it's okay. Like, I'll just be top five. Like,
yeah,
terrible mentality, man.
Do you think there's any space where like there should be a system where the CDL gets involved in GAs?
Well, GAs are technically not supposed to be a thing. And no.
Well, it's also because there's so much gray area in the GAs nowadays. Like,
yeah.
A setting on your computer. Like, that's insane that even exists in the first place. But like,
and also, it's technically not regulatable, even though it technically is. It's like, for example, like, let's say the reason for it is like, let's say, okay, you can go in the setting, turn it on. Ref walks away. He doesn't see it. You play the whole map. You go in real quick while it's ending. You turn it off. They can't really tell, technically.
Same thing with auto attack sprint.
Yeah, exactly. So unless somebody was literally recording your screen and your entire... It's like monitor camming. Like, the only way that they could enforce that, like, at home is if you basically were monitor camming the whole time. Like, and they saw all your whole entire setup.
Part,
and
the crazy part is that we have to rely on that. Like, why 100%. Can't players just be like, no, honor system, like, none of us do this. Like, that's what we did back in the day. We did that with snaking for years. We got away with saying, yo, nobody snake. It's the wrong thing to do. And players just were like, okay, yeah, this is not our play style. We're not going to do it. Complete opposite
but
nowadays.
But I think it's a lot harder, though, Pat, nowadays. Because especially with a setting like that, like, imagine there was a setting on your Xbox that allowed you to have better aim assist, or
I convinced people that
better,
was a thing on Xbox 360.
I know.
That was absurd,
better aim assist or better recoil, or, you know, like just something that like was an advantage, but you couldn't really tell. Right. You would just assume, oh, this guy's really good aim. Right. If that existed, people would have 100% been doing that shit back in the day. And no one would have fucking known. So the people that had the integrity to obviously not use it would have been at the mercy of the people that weren't using it. But another thing is, and the reason why back then...
I don't think
the
good players would have done it. I think maybe like the people who were shit and like were trying to break in would have done it. But not the top level good players.
My point is also another reason why back then stuff like that wouldn't have mattered as much, like sound EQ and stuff like that wouldn't have mattered as much, because online meant less up until we started having an actual league, like an online league, which was basically when did we have like a league? Was it, when did it start, like Ghost? AW?
Nah, even in Ghost, we just had the online stuff.
Okay, but then the matches didn't AW, well, I'm saying AW, we had a league, right? Like an actual league, MLG Pro League. Oh, it was an
online thing, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but my thing is like...
Actually, no, it was really BO3. AW was kind of just 2Ks. It wasn't really like the matches.
No, we still had... No, I'm not saying like they mattered much, but they meant something, like your seeding or stuff like that. So but BO3 is
where it was really like a ladder.
Yeah, yeah, but my what I'm trying to say here is online didn't matter as much. Right, those cups and stuff were cool and 2Ks and stuff like that, but everyone was always looking forward to the majors, like all the LAN events, all the MLG LAN events, UMG LAN events, et cetera, so people that actually were turning those things on were just cucking themselves for a 2K, right?
I mean, the max that we did back in the day was host fucking. That was it.
Yeah. But like, nowadays, with online mattering so much and no way to monitor it, like, I could see why people aren't going to have that integrity, because they just don't trust the guy next to them. Like, and I get it. I probably wouldn't either if online meant this much.
I mean, online literally determines whether you're in the CDO or not.
Yeah, it's more you argue. I think over this entire span of a season, you make most of your points online. Am I wrong?
No, you make like, yeah, no, you definitely do.
Yeah, unless you're playing apart from
Yeah, I was gonna say apart from a couple teams, yeah.
Yeah, but we're not talking about people that are getting the top four seeds. We're talking about like getting into champs. Like those people that are trying to get into playoffs, their points come from online.
I think Rocker had like a stat last year where they only got like 10 points on land throughout the whole year, and they got like 100 and some online.
something like that.
And but they made champs. Like,
so I mean, I get it why people don't trust them, because online means so much and there's no way of monitoring it. But if online meant less, like way less, I mean way less, I wouldn't give a fuck if somebody ran sound EQ against me online, and I would just I would just bite the bullet and be like, I lost this online match. Yeah, maybe they're running it, but that's fine, because online, well, means nothing. So we're gonna go to LAN and we're gonna be just way better than you because you sat there and practiced with it the entire time.
That'll never happen, though, obviously, because I feel like people would just not care to watch
the matches.
The matches at all.
100%.
On another note, though, I think it was a couple days ago. Was it Activision that came out with a statement with their like public reports about kind of acknowledging the state of Call of Duty esports and the Call of Duty League, as well as the Overwatch League, and how it has, I don't know the exact terminology they used.
It was their first time they admitted this was a failing business model.
Yes. Yeah.
They're taking a step of saying this is a failing business model.
With also the note that they may fail in fixing it.
Improving it. Yeah.
Yeah. So they were like, yes, we acknowledge that this is a failure. We're working to fix it, but we're just warning you, it might not get fixed. This is not headed in a good direction. So I kind of want to like,
which I think is telling us that the inevitable is like
heading in that direction. Yeah. I don't think, I think that's how you kind of have to think about it.
They're just telling us what we already knew, right? They're just confirming it.
Yeah. Now, what I want to ask you guys is, obviously people are already like jumping to conclusions about what that means, for what comes next for the Call of Duty esports space. And some people are like, oh yeah, I'm happy it could go back to the CWL format. And I just don't know how that all is going to pin together. But what do you think happens if or when that day comes, where the Call of Duty League is no longer a thing?
I have no idea. I think there could be a world where we do go back to another party running it. Cause I mean, like Esports Engine runs like Halo with 343 and all those stuff. And maybe they go back to running Call of Duty tournaments to some degree or something of that nature. But realistically, I mean, it could also just be like, they look at it as a failing project and Call of Duty Esports kind of dies to a degree. But I think our esports is kind of lucky because we've always been kind of self-sustainable with the amount of like personalities and stuff. Like, for example, Skump is still here and Skump will always like support Call of Duty to a degree unless something
for just, now
for now right? So I think we always have that leverage. There's, you know, other personalities like Zuma, and then like even like the smaller personalities in the scene, like and all the Warzone content creators. So there'll always be some sort of form of esports in Call of Duty, I think, regardless if it's officially done through Activision, and Activision has full control of it or not, or just maybe lets people use their branding, I guess, or you see what I'm trying IP, to say, right?
Yeah,
the IP, right? Like kind of how like Nintendo kind of allows Smash Bros. Tournaments to get thrown, even though fucking Nintendo hates esports. Yeah. But anyways, that could happen. Do I think it'll happen? I don't know. I'm usually pretty grim about these situations, so probably not. But also, I'll tell you the reason why stuff like this is failing. Obviously, there's, you know, poor decisions made by Activision in terms of, and also the game just not being like an esports title. So like it's not a trap. I've said this before. You got to stop trying to convert your casual audience into esports fans. There will inevitably be people that do that, you know, just by interest. It happened this year with like the rank play stuff, but you need to garner the hardcore FPS fans into like coming from like games like Valorant or like other games and being like, wow, I want to play Call of Duty competitively. Not Valorant competitively or Apex competitively or CS competitively. It's hard to steal those games because a lot of those games are made strictly for competitive, but that's how you build a successful esport, because there's tons of people that watch esports and FPSs, but you want to convert them into also watching Call of Duty. And a reason for that being like that is the game, but also, bro, people are way too fucking overpaid. People are taking shortcuts. They think that Call of Duty as an esports should immediately be like as sustainable as like the fucking NBA or the NFL. We took insane shortcuts to get to this point. The development of like the NFL and the NBA and MLB and even just sports in general was fucking so much longer than the lifespan of Call of Duty esports. And people are literally like getting on and playing games and then getting off and playing their league matches, practicing and getting and just only doing the bare minimum. Bro, we are not the NFL. We can't just get paid to play. We are a fucking gaming. We are literally the gaming community. If you want to only be an esports player and only compete and get paid to compete in a sort of sustainable environment, go play League of Legends or Counter-Strike or something like that. But we have to understand the gaming space and the esports that we are in. We're Call of Duty people. We need personalities and content creators, and those guys should be the pros as well. You can't get away with just fucking spawning in every day in your practice and getting the fuck off. You gotta do something else. You gotta make a brand. You gotta spread out your reach. You gotta get people to be fans of you, so that way they get invested into the teams. And obviously some people might say that's not our job. If bro, you gotta make it your fucking job, because otherwise you're fucking useless, bro. You're not even marketable. Like, yeah, we have to understand the space that we are in.
I think the problem is, why does our esport require that, but no other esport does?
See, that's the thing, though. So people will say, yeah, you know, the game, and it's not made for rank, or it's not made for competitive and stuff like that. And wait, I fully agree with you that there are things that the developer can do for us to make things better and maybe garner more interest. But if we've lived in a ecosystem where they have never done that for us, ever, and we still continue to just like pretend like it's going to happen. No, take it into your own hands. Start fucking start doing more. Create more content, et cetera.
The overpay thing for me is interesting, because it's like, to me, the only reason that's the way it is because Activision put a $25 million price tag on a franchise fee. Like, they basically said this is a super expensive space to operate in. I think that is the number one issue, right? But like before that, when we really look at what happened to salaries over the last 5 years, I think in 2017, the like highest paid players were on like $4K a month. In 2018, it was like $5K to $6K a month. And that's, you know, I mean, that's a decent amount of money. That's $40,000 to $60,000. And then when BO4 hit, right, and obviously a lot of these teams in the space that kind of understood franchising was coming the following year, you know, that they upped their salary amounts to get players to hopefully sell players, and a lot of them did. There was a lot of transactions that went down in the 2019 offseason, right before, like in between BO4 and Modern Warfare 19. And I think that was basically double. Like, salaries literally doubled because everyone knew that, you know, if you had players under contract, a year later, You know, Activision is putting a $25 million price tag on a league. There's going to have a lot of big name investment groups come in. Not only investment groups, but big teams that are obviously involved in the Overwatch League. And they're going to try and sell players for a pretty penny. And to me, that's just where this all started. The salary jump from World War II to BO4 was literally like a double across the board, if not more in some cases. And then from there, you know, with these $100,000 figure buyouts, multi-$100,000 buyouts that were occurring in the 2019 offseason, yeah, I mean, players demanded higher salaries. And because everyone was already invested into this so much, it was like they just set an astronomical baseline, which absolutely in no economic environment in reality was sustainable, but especially now in the economic environment we're in now. And I think this is why we've seen so many teams try and get out, so many teams merge and try and look for other, you know, orgs to basically bear some of these operational costs. I think, you know, Activision's announcement basically said, look, expansion is never happening in the CDL, yeah. Like ever. You can throw that one away. And right now it's basically, can we basically beg and figure out a way for the teams that are already involved to stay? And we've already seen with LAG, they're out. Like, I don't know what's going to happen this offseason. That's a big question mark, whether they just say, hey, we're closing our doors. I think one of the Overwatch League teams, one of the Chinese teams, basically said, we're ceasing operations. We're not funding a team. Sue us. Like, that's basically what happened. And because they're in China, what's Activision going to do about that? We still don't know. And I think, you know, that's a likelihood with LAG. Because otherwise, they don't want to be involved whatsoever. They're going to try to sell their spot. And if they can't, who knows? They're just a vacant. We could have an 11-team league next year.
But I don't see any salaries.
I mean, the problem is, like, if the salaries come down, right, if every org just, like, gets together and says, hey, we need to set a maximum. Like, there's got to be some teams that want to win in this space while it exists. So, I don't know. It's interesting. Activision, honestly, has done the worst job I've ever seen from a publishing standpoint.
If OpTic and FaZe and all these, like, big teams want to, like, still over, quote-unquote, overpay their players or pay them, like, exorbitant amounts, that's fine. I feel like they can do it, but like I feel like these lower teams are somehow forcing themselves to try to come up to this, like,
all the lower tier teams I know are paying the minimum. Florida, London, right. LAG, yeah. Who else?
No, you're actually probably right, but I still think, like, as much as this is, like, on Activision and, you know, the CDL teams and stuff like that, I still feel like some of the players are to blame for, like, not doing extra shit, because I feel like
some of these players are paid. It's not their job.
It isn't. But like the thing is, though, people need to stop looking at it like that. Do you people not realize, like, that you're trying to be a fucking NFL player in a gaming scene when the scene isn't even that big? And I get it.
But they're not. A majority of players are trying to get in, get as much money as possible, and get out.
Okay, well, those people are stupid, because if they want to make this into their career and they want to have some longevity, they need to build a brand and they need to make themselves, like, they need to just.
I disagree with that. That's if they want to retire and be full time content creators. I can tell you right now, that's the last thing I wanted to do. I absolutely did not want to do that.
I understand you, but I know for a fact that most of these players don't have, like, crazy degrees or
even. Right, but they also don't have crazy personalities. Bro, like, here's my thing.
There's,
like,
no way some of these players want to just retire. If Call of Duty dies next year and there's no fucking league and they have no other esports to play and they don't have a personality or a big stream or anything like that, you're telling me that some of these players wouldn't care and just are going to go work at a supermarket?
No, but here's the thing. You're acting like anybody can just become a streamer. Like, it's not possible. Like, you can't just turn your stream on and, you know, be likable and have enough followers and subscribers and viewers to commit to doing this full time. And even if you could, some people don't want to. I don't want to sit on a stream 8 hours a day and stream all day every day and play a game I don't really care about. Like, I would hate my life if I did that. Like, that just sounds like.
Get it.
Super unrewarding. I think there's a lot of players that are like that. Some people just, they enjoy competing. They're good at something. They want to compete while they can, and they can move on. Like Austin. Austin does no content whatsoever. He has a robotics engineering degree. Yeah, he's here because he's the best.
Engineering degree,
yeah,
bro.
But there's other people who just got blessed, and, like, they weren't doing anything else anyway. Like, they're just, that's just who they are. Like, My thing is, like, I don't think it's players' responsibility to basically come into the league and make sure the league succeeds. Like, that's not their job. It's the job of Activision. And as you saw in their 10K, they basically finally admitted, we've done a horrible job. This is a horrible business model. We're going to try to improve it. It probably won't fix it. Like, I've been on that side since the CDL started. This was a horrible idea for everybody involved. It benefited no one. And I think it just took a little time to fester, and we'll see where it's at.
I think the only people this benefited in was, like,
the players.
The players who got paid, but also, like, the hardcore, like, called, like CDL, like, not CDL, but Call of Duty, like, esports fans. Like, the hardcore
Call of Duty esports fans. I don't think the fans benefited here. I think the fans got screwed.
I think the hardcore fans didn't, because, like, it gave them, like, entities, like, more direct, only Call of Duty entities to support, because they, let's say EG was still involved and they had a franchise team. Like, no, they didn't give a fuck about EG, but, like, they can get behind the Dallas whatever or whatever. You know what I mean? So, like, I think, if anything, it helped the hardcore fans, because I still think, as much as there isn't that many, I think there's a lot of hardcore, like, esports, Call of Duty esports fans that always go to the events and always, like, buy the merch and support their individual teams, or even, like, the broader spectrum of, like, people, because there's a lot of just die hard fans. And I feel like franchising was only, like, from the fans' perspective, was only good for those people. But when you create a closed environment with closed entities where it's literally just only in this Call of Duty space with people that aren't going out of their way to reach out to, you know, other things, and you're creating a game that is only meant to encompass the Call of Duty fan base, you're not going to attract new people. You're not going to attract new fans. Sure, you know, the people in this little bubble might get closer, but you're not going to get more people in. That's why the franchising model fucking sucks.
I would also agree. It screwed. It helped, like, the 1% of players, but it really screwed the 99%. Like, if you were a challenger player the last 4 years, you got screwed hard. Like, there was nothing for you in this scene.
Everyone was just always banking on franchising. And
CWL, you could have an amateur org who would fund a challenger's team because they had opportunities there. Mm-hmm. Like, your team could go to every event, get into pool play, get into the winner bracket, mm-hmm. win the event. Like, mm-hmm. it's a closed ecosystem now. So all players who were playing challengers, like, you got screwed unless you were lucky enough to get picked up. But even then, as we've seen, all the challenger players, for the most part, aside from, like, an anomaly like Ghosty, got picked up on the horrible team. And you're just in a cycle where, yeah, you sign on for a couple months, get a $55,000 annualized salary. So keep that in mind. When a challenger player joins the league, they're not getting $55,000. They're getting like
20, 30, 80,
maybe
whatever.
They play, yeah. how many months they play, because the season is condensed so short now that it's like they would be signed for 3 months, get 3 months worth of salary, get dropped, and that's it. Like, you get a few grand and you're back in the challengers.
Also, like, people will go ahead and say, it's like, oh, dude, the CDL era, there's been so many new AMs that came in, like Sib, Pred, Draza, blah, 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 blah. If the CDL didn't exist, it would have been the same thing. The reason why it happened was because all these people came in, like, all these new players came in, ended up being really good, that weren't even, like, some of these people, like, for example, Shotzi and Illy and stuff like that, Simpabeezy. These guys came in, were really good. This was, mind you, Simpabeezy pretty much got in before franchising. Shotzi and Illy technically got in before franchising because they got in on the offseason where we started a franchise. Like, all these, like, superstar players that were, like, amateurs or, like, on lower tier teams or underage, they technically got in before franchising, and these guys ended up being so good, right, that they essentially opened up more opportunities for newer players to come in. And on top of that, a lot of the older players, bro, Pat, and this isn't even to have an ego, we come from during our, like, best years, or during even our like declines, there were so many people in the league that were just fucking garbage and got around with, like, being, like, subpar, but being friends with a lot of people, and, like, they just kept, like, bouncing from team to team, and, like,
still exist.
Obviously, it still exists to a degree, but obviously our fall offs were a lot quicker just simply because we were polarizing, so people didn't like us. So, like, even if, like, we were just as good as, let's say, those people that we're talking about, we obviously just didn't get on team. So when new players started to come in, and people realize, wow, these guys are good, those like middle tier players stopped getting away with just being friends. Like it happened to fucking everyone. They just started getting cut and cut and cut and retiring and retiring and retiring.
And people got old. Like people got to the point where they didn't want to play anymore, bro. Half the people, think about it, app, Slack, they're married with babies. Yeah. Like that shit just happens, bro. Like people aren't going to play forever. Exactly. People have life they want to do.
So not only did like the new talent like kind of open people's eyes, but also people get older. You know, and people just have other priorities, and
or the games aren't unhappy. As fun anymore. They don't want to play. Yeah. I don't want to get on and play as much as an 18-year-old who is just starting for the first time. Bro, just started for the first time in 2009, like 2008.
And then also with COVID, with the whole COVID thing and like content creation just blowing up. Like you upload a YouTube video of you fucking. You picking your nose and playing Warzone, and you would have got a hell of viewers.
That's another thing to consider. That also we went from consoles.
People, yeah, but that also pulled people away from like wanting to be pro and being like, maybe I can just get away with turning the stream on every day and just making money. And some of those people went to content creation. So
people well, think are about like, the technology advancement.
CDL did not open more opportunities for AMs. It would have happened regardless as. The older players just got older and retired. It would have just happened.
Yeah, it's the natural progression for any sport. Exactly. People retire, new people come in. And before we get on to some of the fun topics, I kind of want to ask one more question on this. So let's say like we'll just say, you know what? They come out and the Call of Duty League is done. It's over. What would be on a positive note? The best thing for Call of Duty esports when that does happen. Like, is there a world where this could be, in the long run, the best thing that happens to Call of Duty? And maybe they never return to franchising again, but it ends up the start of like a new direction. What would that look like?
Shit, I don't know. That's a good question.
Either Pat's frozen or asleep. Like,
I think if the esports, COD esports came down and somehow didn't completely die out, and we rebuilt ourselves in a way and had a different format and went back to the old school of way things run and salaries came down and blah 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 blah. I think it could be good because I feel like more people would be interested. It would bring back a lot of amateurs too. If like, let's say they did open events again, where like the pros weren't just playing against pros and the challengers and stuff like that could get their opportunity to shine. I think it would bring in more people there. So that'd be kind of cool. But also if organizations were genuinely interested in getting involved in the space, let's say salaries and stuff like that came down and these big fucking giant orgs didn't want to just spend or insane amounts of cash. I feel like it would be nice because people wouldn't have to make new fucking entities. Like big organizations could get involved without having to make a new fucking franchise and get people and cross-pollinate with it. It's just like that's another reason why people don't want to get involved with franchising. Why the fuck would these organizations want to have to create a complete separate entity that people when they already have one?
I don't think that was as big of a deal as a $25 million price tag.
That too, but that like, was the I big feel turn like, off I feel for. Like, I agree. I think that's a big reason, but like, why the fuck would people honestly want to do that? Like, there's people that got lucky, and I don't know if they were allowed to do it before. Well, yeah, with like Optic and FaZe, I guess somehow like were able to keep their name. I don't really know how that worked, but other teams weren't. I don't know why.
I kind of feel like, and I've thought this for a while now since Warzone came out. I gotta
fix something, but go ahead.
With Warzone's like overwhelming popularity. I don't know if I see the Call of Duty multiplayer ecosystem being supported from the competitive standpoint as we go into the future. I think regardless of what happens with the CDL or whatever, like I see a world where this kind of model shifts to and mostly focused on Warzone. Obviously Warzone 2 is a bad comparison. I don't think it's doing that well, but I mean... We've all seen Modern Warfare 2's numbers specifically.
Yeah.
It's in the same boat. So to me at least, I think this kind of will shift to a Warzone focus thing for at least from Activision side, right? Being more of an influencer marketing, obviously prize money, obviously competition. I just realistically see this shifting from multiplayer focused to Warzone focused, because to me there's just more viewership. There's more people who enjoy Battle Royale and right now in Call of Duty than there are people who enjoy classic multiplayer for Call of Duty. And so I wouldn't be surprised, like I said, if you know, not only part of what Activision's plans are were to shift this to Warzone eventually.
See, it was true for a while, but like lately Warzone numbers have been worse.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it's a grim time for Call of Duty in general right now. But because
Warzone will get another update, right? It'll have a Warzone 3 in a couple, like, you know what I mean? It'll to me at least, if that does successful, that's where I kind of see that happening.
Yeah, I don't know. I try and stay in tune with the Warzone stuff as much as I can, but from what I've seen in a lot of my good friends that are in the content space and have competed in some of the stuff, it's not in a good place. And I think it's almost like with every... I genuinely don't think Warzone 2 will have... unless the ranked mode is like really, really good, I don't think Warzone 2 will have popularity and really like get back to a good place until Warzone 3 comes out. I think it literally needs a completely new game. Because a lot of the issues are like gameplay based that I think the pros like and creators that play it every day have. So I don't know. COD's in an interesting spot. But enough about the Call of Duty League. Couple fun topics. A couple fun questions. I did pull a couple community questions from the comments. And one of them was directed towards you, Chris. People wanted to know what it was like during the little stint that you did play on Optic. What was Optic like for that little period of time? A little throwback.
I literally turned my stream on for whatever the hell I was doing and just got hella viewers. And I was just like, what the fuck? This is new. But besides that, I don't think it was much different. It was kind of weird just playing with like Nade, because that was like the first time I've ever played with Nade shot. But I mean, I don't think it was much different than any other team. I mean, I don't know, maybe I just didn't care about all that stuff. People were actually like, so people, a lot of people think I used them for clout.
I mean, you were only on the team for 72 hours.
So no, I wasn't. I was on the team for like almost like probably like almost a week, like probably 4 or 5 days.
Oh, like 72 hours.
And I joined the team and we played in like a tournament or something. We did pretty well, but we scrimmed and it was just pretty miserable. The personalities on the team were just not there. There was no vibes. And obviously that was still when I was kind of like a toxic person, and like me and Clay and Nate, I think we're kind of just all like butting heads. And I just went back to my Curse LV team because I thought it was my best shot at like making a run at champs, but I got unfortunate. We didn't qualify. My controller broke at the tournament for regionals and we didn't have like spares, and I played pretty decent, but we ended up not qualifying regardless. So it ended up biting me in the ass, but I mean, all things happen for a reason. Yeah. But yeah, like, no, I had, I think I had like the most following of a player that wasn't ever on Optic at the time. And then I joined their team and I got like 30,000 followers on Twitter, 30,000, which is nuts. Like, think about that nowadays, getting 30,000 followers on Twitter like overnight is crazy. And people were like, oh, did you join them from Cloud? I'm like, bro, I literally just joined them because I thought it was a good idea. And then I realized we were ass and I was like, okay, I'm just going to leave. And it was good for them because they ended up getting third at champs. So, yeah. I mean, people might have not liked me for the decision at the time, but I mean, I think it ended up benefiting them. So funny stuff.
And then on the same note, an Optic question for Pat. I know how much of a longtime Optic fan you've been throughout your life. If you could pick any Optic roster to like hop in on and fill a spot that you think you would fit perfectly and just been a dominant team with an Optic gaming jersey on your back, what are you picking?
Shit. No, that wouldn't work.
You're just going through each one in your head.
Oh, you're still thinking. I would just pick the one now. No bullshit. I would just play with these guys.
I'll take Ghosty spot, yeah.
No, I'm not even lying. Like, I just like, there's a lot of Optic teams and just even players on Optic that I feel like me and you, Pat, just did not like
particularly get along with that.
Listen, hey, I haven't played Modern Warfare 2, but I'll take Ghosty's spot and we will run it up.
I love it. Now, we're just going to do one more thing, guys, before we head out. A quick little speed round. I have four questions, and it's going to be strictly talking about players in the league right now. So question number one, what player in the CDL would you let date your sister?
Even if we don't have sisters?
Even if you had a theoretical sister that you would just...
Wait, a player right now?
Yeah.
There's so many CDL players that like have girlfriends right now, and I feel like it would be weird for me to say the answer.
Well, it just means they're a wholesome individual. We're not saying they're actually just ditching their girlfriend and going over and dating theoretical sisters.
I don't know. It feels weird. Let me see.
It's their respected young man.
Just player or coach as well?
You can toss. If you want to toss a coach in, toss a coach in.
I'll say my boy Adam Assault, bro, because me and him are good friends. And
Good lord, I feel bad for your sister.
he's a cool dude, bro. He's my boy.
Oh,
lord.
What, dude? No way, dude. No way you're hating on Adam right now.
Yo.
No way. Is Adam a dog?
Chalked.
Is Adam a dog? Oh, let's hear this one, bro. Let's hear this one.
Trying to think who's like super nice person.
Buddy. You're not getting away with this one, bro. Nice. You're roasted no matter what. Nah, don't give him ideas. Don't help him.
Actually, I know who. I hope he sees this because I got him in fantasy. Fred.
Fred?
Fred?
Oh, you're fucked, bro.
Bro, I got him in fantasy. Like,
it doesn't matter. Pray you got him in your fantasies? Hey, yo, what?
Oh, my fantasy lineup. It's Fred, Nasty, Envoy.
Fred is Nat. Yo, hey, and... you gotta chill, bro.
Yo, who else is in my fantasy team?
Fred, Nasty, Envoy, and Tem, maybe?
Nah, it's someone expensive. No, it's someone cheap. Yo, I gotta figure out who's in my fantasy lineup.
Well, I'll move on to the next question while you're looking for that. Who in the CDL would you want on your side in a street fight?
Which CDL player do you want on your side in a street fight? Is that
what you said? Like you get into a street fight and you have one CDL player that's out there brawling with you.
Mm-hmm. Trying to think. Hold on. I gotta get the bull. I gotta get Kismet, bro. The
Priesta.
Bulldog.
Priesta. Priesta.
I was gonna say wait.
Priesta. Really?
Priesta's my fantasy fourth.
I got Kismet, bro. He's the bulldog, bro.
Kiz?
He's got that dog in him. So, I got Kismet.
I'm trying to think who I would take.
Yeah, he just say, "I'm getting beans." That way, I can throw him as bait and run away.
What? I might take Pred on this one. I feel like Pred's got a little athlete in him.
Yeah, but can he fight though?
I don't think anybody in the CDL.
Actually, he's from Australia.
I can.
Bro.
I'm not saying I can, but I'm just saying.
In Australia, they have like all these like weird ass animals like just roaming the street that could kill you, bro. Like,
yeah, he's fending off kangaroos on the off season. I'm taking Pred, dude, for sure.
Kangaroos.
Pat, you're literally the person who's gotten the closest to getting into a fight in Call of Duty history,
multiple times.
You're a street fight. You're a very experienced street fighter.
Who I can rely on to like actually have your back? Like that's what I'm thinking about right now. I'm not thinking about who can fight.
I think you might have to get Clay.
Yeah, I guess I would go with Clay. Yeah.
I feel like Clay's a good pick.
I think Clay would get down, bro, if he needed to, bro.
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking people who would actually like have your back in a street fight.
Yeah. Clay.
Yeah, I would go with Clay. Yeah,
I respect it.
I saw a viral video the other day where, like, I don't know about you guys, but my For You page on Twitter is filled with nothing but Street Fight videos. Oh, I don't know why.
I see the most absurd thing on my For You. Like, things that, like, have scarred my brain where I, like, what just happened? Like, I saw a dude with a sword in the UK fighting someone with a sword in the street.
I saw that one.
Anyways.
No, but what made me think of it is, like, there was a Street Fight video where, like, the dude's friend just, like, bailed on him in the middle of the fight. So I was, that's like the first thing that came to my mind is like, yo, I just need someone who's not gonna fucking do that.
Dip. Well,
yeah. So Clay's my answer.
Well, Parasite Chris told us that he's using Beans as bait, and he's the one that's bailing. So
Chris is the person I was afraid of.
So you're not picking Chris. Next one, blackjack table. You're having a great night at the blackjack table. You're out there gambling, having drinks. Who are you rocking with at the table?
How many people?
You pick two.
Clay.
I'm going Temp and Austin.
Mm. I'm going Clay and I want to say either all. Dude, I might throw an MC, bro. The wild card.
MC's not playing by the book.
No, MC is full. MC, IRL, like, because you're never chilling at events, bro. You're always fucking gone. But MC is fucking hilarious, dude. That guy is so funny.
I would pick two of my favorite individuals. I'd pick Marky B and Benjamin Bantz. Great vibes.
Marky B is still?
Huh?
Yeah, he's with LA. He's a coach.
Yeah, he's coach.
LAG. Oh. Marky B is a good guy. He's a good pick. So is Ben.
And then final one. This is my personal favorite. You just went down. You just lost a gunfight. It's 5-5. You have one person on your team that's left in a 1v1 to win champs. Who do you want in that situation?
Any active player?
Active player. You can pick a coach if you want to on this one, too. Kidding.
Cliche answer would be attached. Everyone says he's like super icy 1v1s. But honestly,
with the fate of the world on the line,
bro,
Andre Iguodala.
That was crazy take.
Bro, in a 1v1, I think I got Hydra. Because Hydra has like the perfect, like, he's a rat. But like if he gets in like a scuffed gunfight, like a quick just reaction, like fucked up gunfight in a 1v1, he'll probably still win it. Even though he's a rote, bro. You watch that kid play, he's actually such a lurker, bro. Like, that guy's Valorant built in his fucking genes, bro. Like,
could he fold under pressure in a 1v1? He's never been.
I don't think so.
I don't know.
The way that guy plays, I don't think he gives a fuck ever.
I got my answer. It's the guy who hasn't let me down yet. Adam Assault.
In the 1v1.
He's won it. He's already won it. He already got it.
He already did, technically. Yeah.
Yeah. There we have it.
He actually did gun him bad too.
And I gave him his favor back when I beat Huke in the 1v1 at World War II champ. So same thing.
There you go. There you have it. I'd probably pick a BZ. Tyler.
Yeah. Well, no, so you'd pick a BZ in a 1v4.
Yeah. I guess
BZ, like, in the 1v1 is probably overchallenging.
That's possible. Definitely possible. Well, that's going to do it for today's episode, guys. We covered a lot today, a lot of CDL stuff, some fun stuff at the end. Obviously, we're coming down to the end of the year. We have a couple fun shows planned coming up to kind of keep it versatile. Obviously, like, we've talked about these teams week after week for the whole year. So a lot of the stuff, like, yeah, we're not going to sit and cover some of these other teams that nothing's really changing that much right now. So we're trying to get more fun topics involved. Feel free to comment if you want us to talk about anything specific or want me to ask them anything. Anything from you guys?
I don't know. Thank you guys all for support. And as always, we'll be back with another episode next weekend. Hopefully we get some more interesting matches that we can cover, or I think season 3 of like Warzone Ranked, and like there's a big new update for COD is coming out. So maybe we'll have some stuff to talk about with actual Call of Duty stuff, not just CDL. So, but yeah, thank you all for tuning in as always.
Yeah, and also, maybe I'm not, I might be mistaken. I don't think I am, though. I did see a Parasite YouTube upload in my inbox.
Whoa.
I did.
And so,
I did
speaking upload. Of content, go check out Chris's gameplay. You know, yeah, we're always...
My YouTube is Parasite CD, like my initials.
You gotta change that.
I can't get the original. Won't let me.
That's
unless
whack.
I have a contact.
That's whack.
But maybe in the future. But yeah, I mean, I started uploading my channel again, just throwing up some rank stuff.
There we go. Content creation is king, right, Pat?
Absolutely, and I cannot wait, James, to see all the content that comes out of X Defiant when we finally do launch and everyone can enjoy. So.
I love it. Everybody's just got their things going. Thank everybody for tuning in. This was a dragged out outro, but see you next week.
Make sure to subscribe.
Subscribe.